it's the GBF here. This week we've got the second part of the interview with Jem Camella. Enjoy. You've got a podcast, haven't you, called My Turn?
Yeah, My Turn Podcast, a podcast about games. I'm obsessed with games.
Which I've listened to a couple of times. I can recommend it. So people are gamers and they want to... I know a few of the chess boxers are. I know if they're gamers...
Yeah.
...want to get up to speed on the latest games and listen to Jem chat.
We're kind of a no-frills game review podcast. We don't know what we're talking about. We don't do the research. But we give you our opinions. We do all games, so it's not just video games. We will also review board games, card games. We've done a couple of escape room reviews. We just love games.
Have you ever reviewed board games as in chess? Have you ever reviewed chess as a board game?
I've never reviewed chess as a board game, no.
Okay, well, maybe it's something there for you.
I mean, it is a classic. It's a hard one to review when it's so much of a classic, though, isn't it? Because it's not like
everyone knows it.
Yeah, everyone know. I don't know. Well, maybe I should. Sod it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. I will review some chess. Maybe, in fact, I should review a chess event.
Yeah, yeah. You could. I mean, I'm sure some of the chess books touch people. We have friends of chess boxing who, you know, organise events and that kind of stuff. So it could happen.
Yeah. Let's make that happen. All right, let's make that happen. It's going to happen.
Okay.
In general, we tend to do a mix of video games and board games. But at the moment, we're mostly on video games because lockdown. So there's not many people to play board games with.
Just leading on from that, knowing I was going to be talking to you, I decided to review a boxing computer game. So I at Christmas to a Oculus Quest. So I'm not really a gamer, but
very nice.
I'm a kid and I would love to do more, but I just don't for some reason. And I thought, I had a go, my friend had an Oculus and I was just blown away by it. I thought, I've got to have one of these. So I bought it and there was a free demo game called Creed, which is based on the film.
Based on the Rocky. Which I still haven't seen. I need to see it because I'm obsessed with Michael B. Jordan.
Okay, is he the lead in it, is he?
Yeah. Sorry. I had a moment. Every time I want to watch it, my partner Alex is like, nah, I'm not in the mood for that. I think he knows what's going to happen. I'm just going to just be too involved. How was the game? Could you sum it up in a nutshell?
Have you used an Oculus Quest? Or you've used one, haven't you?
I have used one, but only at an expo. So I've never had an extensive go on one.
Because I should talk about the platform as well, because it is genuinely jaw-dropping. Like, it's a completely different experience to playing a regular computer game. As you can probably imagine, different, but you can't really imagine what it's like until you do it. You get completely sucked into a different world. Like, after 2 or 3 minutes, you don't really know where you are. Well, you do. You're in the computer game. It's probably not my favourite game, but there's some really amazing, beautiful games out there, like Moss, which is set in a little woodlands area where there's a tiny little mouse. It's just beautiful sort of glades and stuff. And in 3D, it's absolutely stunning. Creed. Yeah, go on.
So just quickly on the Oculus, how's the motion sickness?
Yeah, so I play for about half an hour and I haven't eaten. I quite often get a bit sick. It's a bit heavy, like on your. I mean, it's designed really well in terms of the rubber and how it fits onto your face, and it kind of nug and you can move around with it. But it does feel a bit heavy, which I think will improve as you know.
Neck muscles will get stronger. You'll just get really buff neck. You'll look like a Formula One driver if you play it for too long.
Yeah, maybe I should just walk around.
Really massive neck.
Attached to my head, doesn't it?
But I actually tested the Sony VR headset a few years ago when they were doing loads of tests on people to kind of try and iron out some of the problems with motion sickness. Mm-hmm. And I knew before I went into it that it was going to be bad because they made you fill out a questionnaire on how sick you felt beforehand. And I was like, I feel fine, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to feel terrible afterwards.
Like, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 5, how sick do you feel? Oh, shit. Yeah,
I have to say, it's worth it. It really is worth it. And in some ways, it's kind of better not to spend like a whole day in it. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, you don't really spend more than half an hour anyway, because it could be quite addictive, like a lot of computer games. But I don't know if you read Ready Player One.
Yeah, definitely read that. Yeah, and I love that, you know, that they have kind of the beginnings of haptic suits and stuff like that now. Mm-hmm. So there's a I read recently about a glove that's been made with haptic feedback. So basically you feel like you're holding things because there's little tiny air bubbles in it that get activated that push back against your fingers.
Yeah.
So when you like clench around an object that you see in VR, mm-hmm. you feel the resistance pushing back against your fingers. So it's meant to be really quite amazing. I love that stuff. Like,
one thing they need to sort out. The one thing they need to sort out was in the film, they basically play the games in a massive hamster
wheel. I haven't seen the film.
Oh, sorry, not the film. In the book. And yeah, that is the only thing. All the games, if you have to move from one place to another, you basically teleport, or you kind of have to use a joystick to walk, and it ruins the effect of feeling you're completely somewhere else, because game. Whereas if you could just walk naturally, you wouldn't break that feeling.
That's interesting, because the only games I've played in VR, I've played one where I'm in a spaceship, and I've played one where I'm in like a exoskeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And so using the game controller felt right because you felt like you were operating a machine anyway. But the I was fine moving in a straight line forwards and backwards, but what really made my stomach go was when you turn and look at something off to the side. Oh my god. Wow. Every time I turn my head, I was like, oh, I'm gonna puke. It's so bad.
Game probably is a game called Red Matter, which is set in space. It's set in low gravity on the moon of Jupiter, and you don't teleport, you have a suit, and you have joysticks like you would in a space suit, and you like press a button and it kind of like goes psh, and you sort of jump like you would in space, and that
feels
because you don't have that sudden loss of the feeling of being in the game. And also,
did you feel like you're at reduced gravity?
Yeah, you do. To the point where you do
a jump, cool.
And then when you land, it's a bit like, you know, when you step on an escalator that's not running, you kind of expect it, and you can't help but overbalance slightly, and that's what it was like. It was so realistic. My body, my inner ear was thinking, right, you're going to have to like stop yourself from overbalancing, so you'd actually overcompensate and almost fall forward.
Side note, after we finish this call, type into your search engine of choice people falling over playing VR.
Okay, well,
that is the most amazing compilation of things you will ever see in your life.
I will do that. But anyway, we should get on to Creed, because just explain. So basically, you have the headset.
Yeah, yeah. So in a nutshell, what
in a nutshell,
about?
You have these hand controllers, which obviously are your gloves. In a nutshell, it's the platform is so what you should use for combat sport, because you literally, you're in a ring with the guy and it feels like you are, and it's kind of frightening. Like
So what you haven't said is, what is the game? So like, is it just a straightforward boxing game? So you are a boxer and you go in the ring and you have serious matches.
It's a straightforward boxing game. It's based on the film Creed, which is a Rocky sequel. And when you get in the ring to start with, you're basically, I've only played the demo, but you're basically boxing a guy who's like 7 foot tall, who's massively muscular, and you feel like you're standing next to him. It is really frightening. Like, it feels like he's right on top of you, because he kind of is. And the actual feeling of being in the ring, and you've got the crowd going, if you put your arms up, like, the crowd will roar, and that is quite cool. And it's genuinely quite scary. And they have the Rocky music as well, which may be a little thing, but I fucking love Rocky, so. And the Rocky adds quite a lot to it. But the game itself, I mean, the graphics are very good, but the game itself obviously wasn't designed by somebody who's a boxer. The actual gameplay, very one-directional. And I think there's lots of different punches you can do, obviously, because you just punch with your arm, whatever you would be doing. But punching is only like a very small part of boxing. Boxing is all around foot movement and body movement and anticipating your opponent. And there's only one way of blocking, and there's only one way of dodging a punch.
That's fun.
Which is basically the whole of boxing is basically been boiled down to like two actions with your Unreal glove. So it's a real shame, because they've obviously put loads of work into creating the game, and if they just consulted somebody who boxed, because it's so like, all you need to do is translate the actual movements into the same movements. It's not like you need to do anything difficult. If you duck, you should duck. Like, you know, if you move your head to the left, you should slip. If you move your head to the right.
I mean, if you had a read up on this, because perhaps they did make it more realistic and then took it to a test group and they said, well, we just want to punch people. So maybe, because often games, especially action games, are developed sort of in stages with a bit of user testing feedback. And it might be that what people wanted from the game was punching.
Okay, well,
I'm throwing a concession to the developers there, but it could be that. It could be that dodging is a bit boring. There are a few games which are like kind of RPG types, which are really reliant on you nailing a block, and some people hate that. So yeah,
I guess I can see your point, but if it's the whole game, do you know what I mean? If you're on a
If it is a boxing game rather than a game with boxing in it, for sure.
The whole game is just the boxing, and maybe it was a demo. I don't know, but it wasn't even just the fact that there was a few things you could do. It's also, instead of like matching the movement that you would do, you have to do something different.
That's annoying.
I was disappointed, but I have to say, like, it's quite a good workout. I did 3 boxing rounds, and I was sweating by the end of it. So if you want to get fit, it's not a bad idea. But if you want to get good, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't recommend it. And you just end up just like hacking, like you would hack a gamepad. You're just like throwing your fists forward as much as possible, and you kind of win. It's like, it's not very tactical.
It's kind of the equivalent of button bashing, but you're just waving your arms around.
Basically, I mean,
so here's a question for you, Gav. We had an episode of our podcast, like when we first started it, called Fit or Shit, which is about precisely this: games that are meant to get you fit, but actually a lot of the time they're a bit shit. And one of the things that came up when we were reviewing these games is that the game was less good when you could cheat. So could you just throw your arms around willy-nilly and the game would register it as punches?
You can, yeah. And you don't need to punch in. So when you're training to box, obviously, you train so you pack a powerful punch. So it's about balance, about rotation of your shoulders and where you put your weight. Yeah. And obviously, if you're not trying to do that, you're just kind of flicking your hands out and you're still registering your punch. You know, it's quite different. And it is kind of a cheat, I suppose.
Yeah, it's like that thing of when everyone was playing the Wii and there was lots of fitness games on that, and, you know, games where you had to run, and you just figure out that if you just move your hands a bit quicker, it registers that you're running harder. so that's kind of like, I feel like, no, if you can cheat, it's not good enough.
That's the thing, to walk around in the ring, you have to hold two buttons down and then move your arms up and down like you're walking, which obviously...
That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And the other boxer, the AI boxer, they don't really move as you would if you were boxing. They just, if you move back, they just move forward and try and punch you. There's no kind of new, like, trying to feel each other out. There's no sort of, like, fainting or moving in and out of range. It's a real shame. But, mate, I mean, the platform is there. It would be ideal for boxing to actually train to do it as well. It would be much better than shadow boxing. You could really...
Yeah.
Using tutorials, you could get really good at boxing using the platform. I'm sure you could.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good use of VR, isn't it? It's training. And you know, obviously, people like Formula One drivers and fighter pilots have been using simulators for years. So, yeah, why not use them for sport? I think for, like, physical sport, it would be really cool, I think.
Yeah, especially if you're in lockdown as well. You're in a one-bed flat in the high rise or something.
Yeah.
Actually,
I started writing a comedy script with the idea of, like, how would you train if you were training for a relay team? Like, obviously you can do individual runs, but part of the training is being unified enough to get that baton passed in really kind of slick, in a really slick maneuver. And I was just like toying with this idea of like them trying different ways of virtual training and passing a baton. I didn't get that far with it, but the idea was nice.
Yeah. I don't know how you'd begin that at all.
But Beth, what would you give Creed out of 10?
Oh, it would be low. It would be way below 5. It would probably be...
way below 5?
Oh, it's wow. Really bad. It's really, really bad. It's not just... I mean, I get your point about it. It's got to be simpler to pick, so it's accessible. But for me, it was so...
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be simpler to be accessible.
But I mean, I don't know.
Depends what they want to... It depends on the market they want to reach. I guess that's the thing.
Maybe I should buy the full game, because I don't know if there are other features that aren't on the demo, but...
could be.
It's very shallow. Like the game was shallow. Like once you'd figured out how to basically cheat it, then there was you could do that, and there wasn't really a challenge left. It was bad. It was really bad. I was very disappointed. Very disappointed.
Okay, so what is your rating then?
I'm gonna give it 2. 2 out of 10.
Oh my gosh! Even with the good graphics and the fact that it's integrated into virtual reality.
Yeah, because I think you've got to... Wow. Well, the platform's there. I'm not rating the platform. The platform's amazing. I'm rating the game.
Fair enough.
I think the quest is incredible.
An honest rating.
I'd say I remember the first time I played GoldenEye on the N64 with, like, an analog stick. And the graphics... If you look back, I don't know if you've ever played that again now.
Played it last year. I went to an amazing event at the Science Museum. And actually, was it last year or the year before? Blimey, can't remember. But recently, maybe 2 years ago, who knows? I went to an event at the Science Museum and they had a bunch of retro games going through the decades. And GoldenEye was there and we played it on a big screen. And yeah. The graphics are blocky as fuck, but the game is amazing and it still holds up and it's still one of my favourite games.
It's awesome, isn't it? But I remember playing that for the first time and my mind being blown, because it's the first time you kind of have that genuine sort of feeling of being in three dimensions. That's what it was like putting the headset on the first time. And it's almost a shame though, because you're never going to get that feeling again, but I guess they'll improve the graphics and they'll improve the hab suits and all that kind of stuff, so it'll improve. But that you put it on the first time, you're like, I didn't even realise this was possible. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess there's incremental upgrades and developments that will happen. I think because Oculus got that massive investment a few years ago, and then people rushed a lot of games out from what I remember reading. And so a lot of games weren't really there yet, but people wanted to get on board with that big boost of investment that they got. So I don't know, like, let's see how it goes.
There's a Call of Duty out, I think, at the end of the summer, so that will be interesting to see.
I think that could be really intense.
It could be. It
like,
could be
really intense.
Because it is actually quite physical. Not only do you get a little sick, but it's quite physical, like some of the games. Like if you play now, you are tired. There's a really good game called Saber Beat, where you basically got these lightsabers and you dance, and it's like a proper workout. Like, it's good.
That sounds rad. I want to play that.
It's really good. I will lend you, if we ever get out of lockdown, I'm going to lend you my set, so you'll have a go. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, I'll just come over and we can play.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You can film me falling over while I'm playing VR.
Play, if we had two, we could actually play a game together in lockdown, remotely. You can do that.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to buy it. I'm going to miss out on this because I am a person that gets motion sickness very easily in life anyway. So for me, unless it's kind of a rolling down a river really gently, actually even a river would make me feel sick. What am I talking about? I don't know where my journey with this type of technology would ever work because I just get sick from sitting on a bus and being in these, even like my cousin had one of the ones where it's a headset that you put your phone in and you go on a roller coaster. And I tried it and I was like, this is amazing. Like, even when I was putting my arms in the air when we were going upside down, I was like, woo! And after, like, I shit you not, like, after 2 minutes, I was like, oh God, my stomach. Like,
maybe it'll change. I think maybe it'll change though when it gets so good that you don't know, you genuinely don't know that you're in a game. And then it might be fine because you won't get sick because you won't have that disjoint between your inner ear and your what you're seeing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, then I need the hamster ball, basically, for that to be the case.
Yeah.
Or, like, some kind of repurposed love seat that's been turned into, like, a haptic feedback gaming chair.
Okay.
You know.
I've just got...
Get me one of those. I'll give it another go.
We should wrap things up. But I've got And if you'd been listening to our podcast, you would know what the question is, because it's the same question I asked to everybody who comes to the podcast.
I'll listen to it now.
That's fine. The question is, what is your favourite chocolate bar and why?
I don't have one.
Oh, come on.
Again, I'm not discriminating against chocolate. I will discriminate against... No, I'm going to say what my favourite type of chocolate is, and that is dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Dark, beautiful. That's dark fine. Chocolate. And I like dark chocolates that have like a really nice creamy texture as opposed to a dry powdery texture because no one needs that in their lives. So yeah, I don't have a favorite bar, but I like any high quality dark chocolate around the 70% mark.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair answer.
Is that good enough for you? Yeah,
I understand you also like after 8 minutes. Again, something that you know.
Love after 8 minutes. Great, that's a dark chocolate with a minty center.
I have to tell
and
me.
It's so light, you can eat like 5 of them in one go. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, Jem, thanks for coming on the podcast. Thank you also for being at MC. You really are
thank you.
A big part of the show, and we always get a lot of compliments about you. And it's always.
That's very nice.
That counts for a lot. And we'll hopefully be catching up later on after this has all happened, all the isolation is finished, and hopefully we'll be before October when our next event is.
Yeah, hopefully so. And I really look forward to seeing everyone in the flesh again. It's kind of not the same doing this because you can't, like, this is going to sound really weird, but you can't smell each other. I know people are really there when I can smell them. Weird. If I can't smell them, it's not real. It's all VR.
Who's got your favourite smell then of all the chess boxes?
I don't know.
Okay.
Everyone has their own smell.
I've
started the whole thing. Started a whole weird thing about smells. But you know what I mean. Like, I've noticed that if people are too close to you now, if people are within 2 metres, you can smell them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I know I'm too close to someone. I'm like, I could smell your aftershave now.
Yeah.
So okay. On that note, I'm going to go and make lunch. So.
Okay. Stay safe and we'll see you hopefully after lockdown.
Yeah. See you soon. Stay safe too. And peace and love, and make some banana bread, because what else are we going to do?